This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by our friends at Off to Neverland Travel, our travel partner for 2016, and they've been great. If you want to make sure you have a great time at Walt Disney World, you need a travel planner's advice, a magic maker to help make sure you have an awesome time. Their website is gotoneverland.com. Plan your vacation now. Those food and wine bands and food and wine food just was released this week, so make sure to check that out. Again, their website is gotoneverland.com, and let them know you heard about it right here on WDW Today. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. And now on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now, here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, July 13, 2016, and this is episode 1520 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And joining us today for the entire show, once again, Mr. Len Testa. How are you, Len?
Good. How's it going?
Good. So today, you actually just texted me this morning. I have something. I need to share something. So I know this has been gone. You guys have done this before in the past, but maybe just give a little, like, for some of the new listeners, for people that the 10 or 15 people that are our friends that now listen, maybe you tell us a little about what we're going to hear here.
Sure. Every year we compile attraction review ratings from everyone who's visited Walt Disney World and read the unofficial guide and sent us in a reader survey. So if you've visited the Magic Kingdom or Epcot or any other parks over the last year, we've asked you what you thought of the individual attractions. We asked what your kids thought of the attractions. We compile all of these results into one big spreadsheet, and then we start making decisions about coverage based on that. So this year, I was updating the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World with Kids book for 2017. Yeah. And we were looking at the attractions that kids rate highest in the Magic Kingdom, and then also the ones that the kids rate lowest. And the reason for this is this. When we tell people to go to the Magic Kingdom, especially if you've got small children, you're going to take a break in the middle of the day. And what that means is you can't see everything in one day. And because you can't see everything in one day, you got to make choices about what we want to put on this ring lens. So that's what drove all of this. Given the amount of time that you have in the park, what goes in and what stays out of the touring plans? And the results were so surprising this year, I think, that I thought it'd be a great show topic.
All right, so let's start us off. Where do we begin this journey?
So let's talk about the absolute highest rated attraction.
All right.
In all of the Magic Kingdom. What do you guys think it is?
I'm going to guess it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
I opened this spreadsheet, so I'm gonna not. I read
that one.
I recuse myself because I did see that one.
By the way, so we're talking about it for kids. We're talking about preschool, grade school, and teens.
So
okay. So is that combined?
Is this combined?
Combined, yeah. But it actually varies not too much between the three groups.
Big Thunder Mountain.
Okay.
Well, I can say no way because I know, but no. I didn't read it.
The top-rated attraction, and I actually felt good about this, the top-rated attraction in all of the Magic Kingdom is Meeting Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
At Times Square Theater. It is so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So far.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. It all started with
this. Mickey Mouse, or are we rating it actually as creepy, kind of talks to you, but says
it's talking Mickey, of course. Yeah.
Oh, I love talking. Yeah, talking Mickey.
I wish you could see my face right now. I'm in such disbelief that, I mean, I guess preschoolers. Well,
that's the thing.
But you said it's still all pretty similar. A teenager saying, guys, bar none, best thing ever.
Well, hold on. So this is where the trend is interesting. I'll give you the next top two, and then we'll talk about the next group after that. So these are all, there are three attractions that on average on a 5-point scale get 4.5 stars or above. It's Meeting Mickey Mouse. It's Celebrate the Magic, the castle light
castle
show, which I kind of see that.
Oh, the pre-show. And then like the pre-show. The projection thing. Yeah, that's unbelievable. Cool. Yeah.
I kind of see those two together. Yeah. Now, here's the interesting thing. In the next group, and then this is going in order from highest rated to lowest rated, the next six attractions after that are all character greetings. Meeting Anna and Elsa, meeting Ariel, meeting Cinderella and Rapunzel, meeting Tinkerbell, the daring Disney pals at Pete's Silly Sideshow are the next six things after that, or five things, sorry. The other ones at Pete's Silly Sideshow, the Meet Magnificent Disney, whatever's Yeah.
How far down do you have to go before you get to a ride?
So actually, Splash Mountain is the next thing after that. Next thing.
And that's the seventh?
That's the 9th most popular thing as a ride.
You got to do 9 things before you get to downtown Splash Mountain.
Let's talk about the things that are the lowest rated. What's the lowest rated thing in the Magic Kingdom? This should be easy.
Yeah. Small World.
No. Stitch.
Oh, please. Yeah, it's Stitch.
Yeah, it's got to be. I didn't look at anything other than the top one because I just want to know I didn't understand what I was looking at. And then I realized it and I shut it down. So I'm Stitch.
But let me give you the next 6 lowest things because we did the top 6, which are all character ratings. The next 6 in order of badness, from worst to less bad: Hall of Presidents, Liberty Square Riverboat, the Enchanted Tiki Room, Swiss Family Treehouse. Do you see a pattern here, by the way?
I do.
All of Logan's favorite
all
things.
All of my favorites, is that what you're saying?
Carousel of Progress, Country Bear Jamboree.
Carousel of Progress?
Well, these are kids.
These are kids.
See, Tiki and Country Bears are surprising. Because my son, I have a preschooler who's 3.5, and he loves both Pirates, or not Pirates, he loves both Pirates, but he loves Tiki Room and he loves Country Bears. I think because he knows it's not going to scare him. He knows what he's getting himself into, and he enjoys the simpleness of that entertainment that I would assume a teen obviously would hate. But you know, for a little kid, you know, he likes those.
So the kids, they have done all of these things that were surveyed, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. So okay. 126,000 survey responses over the last year.
So let's just not add up how much money that is in touring plan subscriptions. just to not make the three of us feel depressed.
Let me make a political statement. I'm deeply concerned for the future of our country and the future of our world. Yeah, these people are going to be making life-changing decisions in our future.
These are children.
And their top 9 things are meet and greets.
I mean, Will and I were nerdy kids, so we enjoyed the Hall of Presidents. But most don't.
But I still think my top thing would be a ride.
Yeah, I would think so.
Other than 9 meet and greets.
Well, there's some fireworks in there.
Stage shows.
So the other things that sort of like don't do well. So there are a bunch of attractions that are rated below 4 on our 5-point scale. Barnstormer, Pirates, Haunted Mansion, It's a Small World, the Move It, Shake It, Street Party, Tomorrowland Speedway, Astro Orbiter, Tom Sawyer Island.
Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Don't share these results with anyone at Disney. Pirates and Haunted Mansion below a 4?
Yeah.
Even the fact that you said Barnstormer, Pirates, and Haunted Mansion in the same sentence.
Does it? Well, I guess we're going to get there, but is it because of the teen influence you think of this that really kind of shoves those more down, that they're almost not cool at this point because they're not
millennial,
because they're not.
No, I think it's actually for Pirates of Haunted Mansion. It's
for little kids.
Yeah.
Well, I was frightened as a child on Haunted Mansion, so I understand.
You understand.
Kind of see
solidarity.
The other thing I think that that we got out of this was how well the interactive games do. So things like
the Pirate League.
Yeah, things like Pirates Adventure, Treasure of the Seven Seas. That and Sorcerer's of the Magic Kingdom do better than things like The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh or Dumbo with kids.
Now, I mean, I think, you know, we can kind of touch on that, but I think that's sort of also, if you look at the rise this week of Pokemon Go, I think you could say that is very much indicative of this generation, of this sort of interactive move it, move along, go do something that's more special and interactive.
Yeah, I think that's it. The interactive part of it is the thing that's driving it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get that totally. I've never played the Pirates game in full. I kind of stopped and we kind of gave up. I did Sorcerers though, and it was a lot of fun. I don't know if I'd go do it necessarily over and over again, but I could see how a kid like my son, who right now is legitimately, my wife and my son are in our office area hunting Pokemon. I could see how he would get into it. Like I get it completely. So I think those are welcome additions to the park, and hopefully people enjoy. I guess people do really enjoy them as much as some of us.
When they're not enjoying meeting
characters,
yeah,
Daisy as a fire breather or whatever she is.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, like in the circular.
Oh, and the Pete's thing.
Pete's thing. They're always like, you know.
I was not following Daisy as a fire breather. I wasn't even. Following,
I don't know what she is.
I wasn't even following it as Daisy Duck. I was just like, what are you talking about? You're losing your mind.
After hearing these stats, I could possibly go I could go mad just thinking about if I went home today thinking about these things.
Hey, you're a character man, though.
I love characters.
Yeah, like to me,
what are you talking about, Terry? You respond to this survey.
You're a character collector,
but they're not the top 10 things I would do at the Magic Kingdom.
Are they the top 10 things that you do, though? Not that you, quote, would do in a hypothetical sense, but do you do the character meet and greet more often than not?
I haven't done Mickey in, like, at the Magic Kingdom.
Not just Mickey,
though. Oh, you should totally do Mickey. Oh, I went this year, and it was fantastic.
Oh, it's great. It is probably, for my family, which has little kids, it's got to be our number one. It depends if we go to Chef Mickey's or something like that. But let's assume we don't, because even with the Talking Mickey, we usually try to do it. So it's almost always on our trip. We at least go once to do the Talking Mickey.
We Tusker House Mickey. And like, I like that Mickey.
Yeah, you don't want the Mickey talking to you. I love Talking Mickey, man. Yeah. I think it's mind-blowingly great.
I feel like
Have you seen Mickey, bilingual Mickey where it changes like mid?
It's crazy.
I feel like the times that I've seen like Talking Mickey, like the hard drive went down or something. Because
really?
It was just
it's like at Trader Sam's, like all of a sudden it's like the window, the computer shows up on the side, his eyes go dead.
Yeah.
oh, no.
It's all dead behind the eyes.
It's Mickey, yeah. He's
on a bender.
He's spending too much time at Trader Sam's.
Right.
I was on Star Tours one time when a shark appeared on the screen, like when that hard drive went down, you literally jumped the shark.
Oh, that's funny.
No.
Yeah, fun little tip. All right, so where were we?
But here's the big thing to take away from this. If you've got limited time, or especially if you're trying to figure out which set of fast passes to get, and it's between, you know, meeting Mickey, for example, or Jungle Cruise, definitely get the meeting Mickey Mouse fast pass, because
that's going to be a longer.
That's the thing your kids want to do.
I have a speculative question for you, Lynn.
Sure.
Do you feel like maybe some of the other parks, now obviously Epcot, you're not doing character meet and greets, but
they're a character.
But it's not
20. Yet.
Right. But say, do you think that maybe if you looked at the other parks in the future, those things would be less at the top because Magic Kingdom, that's such a institution at that park?
I've got to do it. The future?
The future.
Or do you think that's just all around, that's what kids want to do?
At Epcot, it's going to be a good question, because you'll have the new Royal Summer Hoos and the Epcot character spot, plus those the characters that are in other characters in World Showcase. We'll look at that over the next couple of weeks and see what happens. Cool. I think we need a little bit more time to judge the popularity of Royal Summer Hoos.
I mean, it's obviously going to do fine. I'm curious this guy. I just pulled up your spreadsheet and looked at it, and it may have been breezed over, but I do have faith in humanity that the last one on the 4.0 to 4.4.9 is the People Mover. So you got to give it up. People Mover made.
Yeah, that's good news.
Made the top, the number two tier. After all the meet and greets, Mad Tea Party, Splash Mountain, still making it on there is the People Mover. Which, again, probably.
People Mover, more popular than Pirates.
And on a mission.
Barely.
And you're saying you have faith in humanity, Logan?
Well, I guess that does skew, because if like Riker, my son, will do the People Mover.
Right.
And loves it.
He won't do Pirates?
He will do Pirates, but it can scare him sometimes. He's three. I mean, 3.5. He does the mansion. He loves Haunted Mansion.
You know what always scared me in Pirates? Cannon fire.
Right. It's the beginning.
Right.
The first 5 minutes is where he gets a little bit like during the intro. And
you're
then
not
the drop.
Sure. Are they really firing cannons? Because the water's splashing.
Yeah. Yeah. 3.5-year-old mind doesn't
know what kind of crazy things Disney would do to me.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty interesting, Lynn. And we look forward to hearing what the next parks are and how they do, because I was not surprised. I mean, not surprised that Carousel of Progress and those are down at the bottom. I think that's pretty obvious, but it is interesting to see, especially for kids. Mickey number one. I love that. I'm actually, that excites me. I like that, because I think that's great. So we just heard from Lynn about what toddlers and teens and preschoolers, what everyone likes at Disney. And I actually thought my son, who's 3.5, say hi, Riker. He came in the studio, so we said, why not ask him? Now, Riker, have you been to Disney World before?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, you've been a bunch of times.
Hey, Riker, what's your favorite thing to do at Disney World?
Ride on Star Tours.
Oh, that's a really fun ride.
Yeah. Were you tall enough?
Yeah.
Just a little?
Yeah.
And they let you on. What's your favorite part of Star Tours?
Do you remember when we crashed in... And a little joy pop up, he fell down and got broken, and Steve Peel said, I don't like come. You had to come aboard.
Yeah, you didn't want him to come on board at the end? What part? What happened at the beginning of Star Tours?
Doctor just pushed us down.
Yeah. And then where did we fly to?
Jakku, you remember?
Oh, yeah. You go to Jakku.
Who did we see there?
Finley.
And what were they doing?
They were BB-8.
And they were flying. What were they flying?
Leia Falcon. Dun, 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 dun.
Hey, Riker. What is another fun thing, other than Star Wars, what's another fun thing you like to do at Disney World?
Yeah, maybe at Disney World, the Magic Kingdom. What's your favorite thing to do there?
The ride on the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah, that's actually rated below a 4-star.
Yeah, most kids don't like the Haunted Mansion.
Riker, did you know when I was your age, I was really scared on the Haunted Mansion?
I remember that.
You remember that? Are you... Is it a scary ride, or what's going on at the Haunted Mansion?
It just gets a little more spooky, and then one thing silly happens. Oh. The ghost takes your head and try to lie in the cart.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they take your head at the end, the hitchhiking ghosts. What do they do with your head?
They take it off.
Do you think that I could ride Haunted Mansion and you could kind of like... be there to make sure I know when the spooky parts come?
Yeah, they come before the silly part.
Oh, okay, great.
And so you can hide down near the carts, or the cart door is, so you don't see the scary.
The Doom Buggies?
Good tip. Yeah. That's a good tip. That's what we do on this show. We give tips.
If you think about it, and the sit up and see the whole... the scary part, if you like it.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your favorite part in the Haunted Mansion? The singing?
Yes.
Or the dancing?
Yeah. Uncle Al.
Yeah, bud.
Next time I will bring you if we go on the Haunted Mansion, I will bring you to Disney World and we go on the Haunted Mansion with you. And you don't have to hide down near the door so you can see how fun it is.
Okay, so I can be brave. You'll help me be brave?
Yeah, just stay and don't tell me you don't like it.
Okay, I won't tell you if I don't like it.
Riker, have you ridden the Dumbo ride?
Yeah, I'm in on that so many times. Like one time. So many times.
What do you like about it?
You fly up in the sky.
Do you use the joystick to make Dumbo go higher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about...
Lower, you mean?
Lower. Yeah, you can go lower and higher. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another ride you do. Hey, Small World. Well, that's a Small World.
Yeah.
What about It's a Small World you like? Because that's usually your favorite ride, right?
Yeah.
Tell me, why is it your favorite ride?
Because that's dance.
That
sounded like the Imperial March.
Yeah, it's Imperial March.
But you inserted the word dance.
What song do they sing?
It's a Small World after all. It's a small world after all.
What about the Tiki Room? Do you do that one?
Tiki Room.
What's the Tiki Room?
Where the birds go tee-tee.
Oh, no, not where they go tee. Not the tee-tee room.
A little potty humor on the podcast.
So say goodbye to everybody listening, because a lot of people are going to hear this.
That's going to do it. I'm like a Salculo.
All right, just going to take a quick break here to talk to you about our friends at Circa 1955. They're an awesome organization, and honestly, we know you guys have reached out. They've had some subscription sales, and it's awesome. You may have heard about it last week. We just got a bunch of smells in. And what it is, guys, it's a subscription monthly candle subscription order that you get. So you get 2 candles in the mail, I believe.
Yep.
For what's the price?
Starting at like $20 a month.
Starting around $20. And they're very unique. This is what I can say. It's not like your average, like, oh, these are Disney-themed candles. So you're gonna have some of the standards. You're gonna have the Dole Whip. You're gonna have some of these. But these are awesome. So we have one right in front of me, the Pineapple Float. It smells just like the Dole Whip. I really enjoy this one. But there's some more unique ones that I really like.
I'm really loving Magical Apple Pie.
Yeah.
Which is the scent that hits you in the face when you're in PhilharMagic.
Yeah.
It smells like that apple pie.
I can smell it right now as you're waving it around.
It's just absolutely
delicious.
Amazing.
It smells just like
it. I'll say
it's
this.
It's
the
good.
The best smelling this studio has ever
I'll
been.
I'll give you that.
I'm over here sniffing Blackbeard's spell, which sounds weird.
Yep.
Blackbeard's spell is, it smells like the pirate's water, like in the dark water
kind
ride.
Like the dark ride smell.
So it's kind of that like reconstituted, a little bit of chlorine, a little bit of fresh water, which sounds weird, but I can't stop smelling. I actually want to light this and see if we can get this whole studio to smell like this, because it's awesome.
Let's do it. There's also some other ones you're going to get. Lots of great ones in front of us, but you can find out all the information and subscribe, guys. You're going to like this thing. It's really cool. It's really unique for Disney fans, and it's usable. It's not like you're going to get a box of junk every month. Like, I subscribe to a few of those ones where I get a box of junk every month.
Wrestling crate.
Yes, I was like, and those are fun for a half a minute when you open them. These are things you're actually going to use around your house. You
can special lady in your life.
Yeah, you can even use them as gifts, whatever you want.
Romantic evening with Blackbeard's spell.
There you go. The website is circa1955.com.
And one of the things that I was talking to Nicole, who's the founder of 1955, that she wanted our listeners to know, as part of their proceeds, is going to go to Give Kids the World. It's one of our favorite organizations in the Orlando area. So
I've worked with them many times. So it's helping out a good cause, too, if you join Circa 1955. That's CIRCA1955.com. And now, back to the show.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
Let's do. You want to do some listener questions?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's see what we got here. This is a fun one. This is from Andy on Twitter. He said, "How is everyone coping with the loss of Mouse World Radio?" How you dealing with it?
I'm in mourning.
It's sad, man. I've been talking with Newell every once in a while. You know, I loved it for so many years, and it's sad that it's gone. In some ways, we live at least in a modern age now, where before, when Mouse World Radio was kind of the only way we could get that music. But thankfully, a lot of it you can still find if you do a Google search. But it is sad, because it was something always fun to throw on in the background when it was working or something like that. And, you know, much love to Mouse World Radio. Yeah, and to Newell, for sure.
Well, I'm not coping well with, well, not with even the loss of it. I'm just not doing well.
All right, this comes in. Let's read this one. I'll do one more, then you guys take it.
All right.
All right, this comes in from Josh, and this maybe you can touch on, Land, as you're kind of reading the rumor circuit. Any news about the Muppets in Liberty Square? And he said, perhaps Jim Hill has more information than we do.
Well,
you know, Jim's talked about that for a while. I definitely see it in the realm of possibility for two reasons. One, the survey results we just talked about.
Right, people like those things.
Yeah, it would be something that would be more kid-friendly for kids. More kid-friendly for kids, yeah. More kid-friendly kid things, yeah.
Kid-oriented.
The other thing is, I think within the Disney company, there are many fans of the Muppets, and you see that because they keep trying different ways to bring them back. And I think intrinsically, we all understand that the Muppets have value. We just can't figure out how to monetize that, have to turn that into, you know, something that people will pay for.
Yeah, they made one really good movie with the reboot, and then after that, it's just been downhill in the Muppet world.
I thought the movie was just okay. I kind of like the other ones, but bigger. But
I like the other originals, but I actually loved the Muppets, the Jason Segel Muppets. I thought they did a great job. The second one went off the rails, and the show was a good concept, but just didn't.
It had moments of like
I've stopped watching after like two episodes.
You know what? You know what? Meet and greet. I'd wait in line for. Kermit.
Pepe.
Yeah. I have a problem.
Brought.
Did you see the one where it was Chelsea Handler and Pepe was like, of course I wasn't there, because if I was there, I'd still be there.
I love the Muppets. And I do. I think you're right. And maybe it's just because it's, even though it's been 20 something years or more since they've, you know, acquired the brand and acquired the license. But I think there is probably a little bit of that. It's like, what would they do if Star Wars, all of a sudden, what if there was a new prequel generation and the movies are bad and people don't like them? They're universally not liked. What would they do? And I think they'd still press forward with Star Wars.
I think we already saw that because
this has already happened. We know.
Right. But I'm saying under the Disney, you know,
under brand, the Disney brand, right.
Ownership, they still would say, okay, we're not going to quit making Star Wars. We invested $4.5 billion. Let's move forward, which was a good deal. Yeah. All right, Terry.
Same price as the UFC, I know. Which is kind of weird to
just a little less.
Equate
just
those
500
two.
Mil less.
Wow.
Yeah, Dana White.
Crazy. Brian Lemieux from Cadillac, Michigan asks, we are traveling to the world September 27th through October 4th, and we scheduled our ADRs 5 months and 2 weeks in advance. We are not able to nab Ohana on the final Monday of our trip. What would you suggest doing to get a reservation? We've been checking the app, and our travel agent has been helping to no avail. What would you suggest?
One thing is show up as early as possible for dinner. So I think at Ohana is at 4:30.
Yeah, I think it's early. If it's not at the latest, I'm sure you would know better than me. I've never seen it before then, and I've never seen it. I've at least seen five. I've had a 5 o'clock reservation. So I
yeah, 5 o'clock. Yeah. So I think if you show up at 4:30 and just say, look, we're willing to eat as quickly as humanly possible. We're just going to, dislocate our jaws, shovel the food in as fast as we can and go. They may have something for you.
Does Ohana have a bar area where you can open first come, first serve kind of eating?
They do.
And
you can order, I think small plates, but it's really open and loud. It's definitely not the same experience.
It's not the menu. You can't get the, all you care to eat experience.
Yeah. I love Ohana. I have made Ohana reservations day of quite a bit or day before really that 24 hour period when people start canceling. So keep checking your app and, or just to decide to upgrade to super concierge and they'll figure it out for you. They'll get you in at the Polynesian. I do love it. Or try I know you want Ohana dinner, but Ohana breakfast, the food is pretty much the same food you're going to get at a lot of places, but it's a good experience. You get to go to the attractions, you get to meet Mickey Mouse. So there you go. It's a top rated attraction. And it's a good way to get in there if you really just want to experience the restaurant and better views in the mornings.
Polynesian Mickey is much better than old bilingual talking Mickey. Yeah, is what we've learned
Hawaiian
from
shirt,
Logan today.
Hawaiian shirt Mickey. You haven't seen you. We have to take you there next time. I don't think you've done the new Mickey.
With old talking?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Old talking Mickey.
Old talking Mickey.
Will, you got one, Terry? You got another one?
I don't have a phone. My phone's being used to talk to Mr. Lynn Testa.
All right, here. This is a good one.
All right. This is from Josh on Twitter. He asks, top three restaurants not to miss in Epcot.
Ooh, in Epcot.
Can you afford it?
Yeah, right. I think we all like Tangerine Cafe. That's a counter service, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. La Cellier is obviously that if you're going high end
and steak,
you got to go for that. I know that's controversial to some people, but Logan and I are the holdouts.
Yeah, we enjoy it still.
And if you're on a budget, just do the apps and you can still,
poutine. Lynn, what do you think? What are the other two for you, Lynn?
So Rose and Crown gets really high marks from readers. Oh, yeah. I was there not too long ago. Yeah. Had the fish and chips, thought it was good. Service was great. The one that I like for the appetizers is La Hacienda over in Mexico.
Oh yeah.
It's actually as authentic as the Mexican food that you get in Mexico, but 10 times the price, but whatever. But still pretty decent food over there. I think I haven't been to Germany in about 18 months and the survey results are slipping just a little bit there. The buffet apparently isn't as good as it used to be. But I'm going to go check that out next time. But that's still relatively solid, around 90% satisfaction.
I'm also a big fan of Marrakesh. Yeah. And I know that.
Oh, yeah.
I when you're in Marrakesh, you don't feel like you're in Orlando, Florida anymore. You do feel like you're in Morocco.
And they've added a new band back to Morocco.
Oh, they have?
Belly dancing again.
And belly dancing.
I mean, I love the belly dancing. Sounds pervy of me, but it's a fun treat while you're eating your food.
Yeah, there's a whole chapter in our buddy Bart Scott's Ears of Steel book all about that's like the number one rated man restaurant to go to.
I wonder why.
Yeah. I enjoyed it too, but check out the Morocco band. And one of the members of Moroccan is back. So check it out if you're a fan of Disney music.
I enjoy, and I know this probably isn't for the food, but I do like the San Angelo Inn. It's a good experience. You're sitting there kind of on the in the Mexico Pavilion. Yeah. The food's the food's average.
Yeah.
It might be because it was one of the first places we went on our honeymoon. It kind of has a nice little
I love the vibe.
The vibe.
I don't like the food.
Speaking of candle smells that we need. Oh. Inside of the Mexico Pavilion.
Yeah, Mexico.
Ooh.
Tell that to old Circa 1955. They got to work out those for us. They need to do a drinking around the world set.
Oh, yeah. This smells like tequila.
it's real cheap. They can just get it.
This smells like beer. This French wine. Sake.
No, that yelled that, man.
That's sake.
Scary. All right. Hey, Terry, you got another one. This one came out on Facebook.
It's a long one.
It's a doozy.
This is from Nicholas Young. hey guys, I have a question and need help. Well, hopefully we can answer the question. I'm not sure how much help we can provide. Last January, I stayed at the Poly Club level and was extremely disappointed. I feel the level of service was not what I expected for the amount of money spent. If I had a question, I was told to contact someone else, or if I wanted to pay in my room, I was told to go to the front desk. Each time I was reminded that I could have used the concierge desk and could have provided me with his services. I want to share that this is not my first time staying at club level on property. I've stayed at several, including the Grand Flow, Boardwalk Inn, and Animal Kingdom Lodge. My question, oh, here's this question. Should I give the Poly Club level a second chance during marathon weekend this year, or should I keep my reservation at the Beach Club level? And I understand the love and devotion that the Poly receives, but I'm not seeing it. The charm and atmosphere and amenities resort do not go unnoticed, but I'm not hearing that the concierge level is second to none.
Okay, so summarize that for me. Well, so they want to know if they want to should stay at the Poly.
Go to the beach of the Poly, and then I asked Nicholas for like an further feedback.
Read that.
Nicholas is in a bind here, so he wants to really. His question is: should he go back and try it again?
Should he do the Poly,
uh-huh,
or should he just go with his gut, his instincts, and stay at the club level at the Beach Club?
All right, I've never stayed Beach Club level, so I'll defer to you guys.
I'm not a huge fan of either the Yacht Club or Beach Club concierges. I think the theming is not fantastic. The food is just average. Although the rates are less expensive in terms of the jump between a standard room and concierge than at other resorts. The only reason why I would suggest staying at Beach Club, though, is because after your race, you can walk through Epcot back instead of having to get on a bus.
Yes.
And that's a huge advantage. I've done that a couple of times.
After you've been running, you don't want to have to trek all the way further without you just want a nice little quick breeze through Epcot.
Well, yeah. So you don't want to stand around for a bus and then sit and wait while the bus loads. And then, it takes too long. And at that point, you just want to get back and, get in a nice cold bath and cool off. I really like the Poly Club level. I think the room itself is great. I've had nothing but excellent service there. I think the food is still very good. I think I might give a slight edge to the Animal Kingdom Lodge concierge, which has, I think, flavors that I like better, but still very good food at the Poly. Maybe it's just a bad experience.
Yeah, and I think, reading Nicholas's further feedback, he club leveled during his Disney wedding. And he he forgot to pack white undershirts, and the club level person called around to see if they could find some on property.
Wow!
Eventually called Macy's and had some delivered for him.
Well,
and that's so fantastic.
Here's what I will tell you. As someone who's had a Disney wedding, I know what you're spending here, buddy. And they're going to try to help you out. I mean, you get free annual passes. At least you did. I don't know if you still do. They hook you up. Now, I did get kicked out of our honeymoon suite that they gave us tonight at like 8-9 a.m. Had someone knocking my door like, time to get out of here at the Grand Floridian. So I've had experiences. Now, to go back to Poly, I enjoy it. I can see your point of view, sir. If you've heard people build it up forever and then you realize it is just a really nice room with a really nice view and you get to watch the fireworks and there's good food and there is concierge service, but you really do have to utilize that to your best ability to really get your money's worth out of it. And I could see why you would not necessarily feel like you've got what you paid for. I had a great experience. I did the Ohana thing. We had no reservation in Ohana, called them, and here's 20 options. They really will try to accommodate you. Maybe you did just have bad experience. But I can see that. Sometimes I question whether it's worth the money when I do it and whether I feel like it's something that I got. I think it's the best one, but I don't know if it's still worth the extra dollars just yet. And my only other feelings with that is that the Polynesian in general is a great resort. Do you still, and this is maybe something, because I haven't stayed there at the club level in many years, a couple of years at least, do you have to walk through the smoking area still to get to the concierge building? Because you did, and it was a bummer.
The outside?
Yeah, it was a bummer, because it was like, all right, great, I have to walk through a smoking section to get to my room.
I don't remember having to do that, no.
No, okay, so maybe they fixed that problem. So that was one of the only negatives I can remember in my head.
I've always kind of thought concierge on property was sort of just it's kind of overpriced in my opinion. And like the wow factor, you know,
it's just not there.
It's just not there, even compared to what you get at like a Hilton or a Hyatt, at least in my experience.
Or like some of those Universal hotels. They've got great concierge.
Here's what I do, Nicholas. I would try to arrange my trip at the same time Lynn Testa is going to be there. And, yeah, you know,
just follow him.
Name the price. You know, if we're doing concierge and money's no issue, see what Lynn will make magic happen for you.
Put that burden on him. Good job.
Are you making Lynn his personal concierge without even asking Lynn?
Well, no, I'm
for giving, just the low price of touring plans. Lynn will answer.
No, I'm not. This is a separate stream of revenue for Lynn that I'm trying to create.
Okay,
this is my personal.
Hey, love. Lynn, you're not busy at all.
Other podcasters get shut down for those services, so you got to be careful. hey, this came in just now from Frank on Twitter, and I don't. You know, maybe you can quickly answer it. How can someone get Jim and Lynn's book on the history of Disneyland?
Man, so we're still working on the book. We actually have a book cover, and we've got the
always the good thing you have first.
Yeah,
start with the poster, the cover. You'll work your way to the product
because contrary to popular belief, you can judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, exactly. And this one is this one is fairly classic. I think I like how it turned out. The thing that we're waiting on, the thing we have to do is we think we need to add some photos to the book. So we're looking for people to get us. If they could share with us old family photos of themselves in Disneyland, especially where there's a good view of a classic attraction or a ride or a show.
You can help.
That would be super helpful. Yeah, send them to me, Lynn at touringplans.com.
All right, so reach out to Lynn. I know there's a lot of Disneyland fans. I'm a big Disneyland fan as well, and hopefully they can help you out there.
All right, awesome. I've got a question from Teresa that came in on Facebook.
Okay.
And she asked, I love how we're doing this like very, almost like a live show. Like, we're getting them as they come in, but no one's listening currently. They'll hear it tomorrow. Teresa says, when will I be able to book dessert parties for a trip at the end of December? Will there be dessert parties the week between Christmas and New Year's?
Oh, it's a good question. I've never tried to book a dessert party then.
Yeah, I could see why you would question it, because whether it's needed.
Before you even answer that, what is your opinion on dessert parties?
I mean,
experience.
I think the thing that's good about them on the holiday stuff is, like at Epcot, you're so close to the holiday tag that that you can feel the ground shake.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the best part of it. And, you know,
that's a positive.
Yeah, it's a positive. Yeah, in a good way. Ground shaking in a good way. At, you know, the Magic Kingdom, I've never done a dessert party there during the holiday, so it's tough to say. Although I imagine it'd still be. Really, really good. They'll probably do something for, and I'm laughing as I say this, Rivers of Light.
Yeah, there's a couple questions about that.
Yeah, when that's
any
that
updates?
Nothing. Haven't heard anything. The last I heard from Jim was that even September's looking a little iffy at this point. But we'll. And the interesting thing about that was the thing that brought that up is the Jungle Book Alive with Magic show. Is the single lowest rated thing in the entire
I've not heard. I saw you tweet about that, Lynn, and that was.
I've not heard one person. Like, I got a message this morning from a buddy, actually Scott, who is running our thing in Claremont, the DLP Fest. He said he went to it and really did not enjoy it. So I think there's that general thought is permeating through people that it feels like a filler attraction, and it really just is.
Yeah, that's that was kind of surprising. So
I think they should just bring out a real live bear. And just turn it loose, old Blue the Bear.
And have a guy wrestle it. I think that would be...
Yeah. Bear wrestling.
That on would a, be the single raft, highest rated.
Dutch Mantel versus the bear.
On a raft. You know, you get those guys that are the unemployed Canadian loggers.
Yeah, that didn't do so well, but if you put them up against a bear...
Like, bear, exactly. Yeah. You know, so you were halfway there on the concept, guys. Yeah. Just, you know...
Live animals was all you were lacking.
You got plenty of them. All right, so this is from David. Another dessert party question. Any word on when Star Wars dessert parties for August may become available? Also, do you think the parties will continue throughout 2016?
Should be. I mean, like any day, any moment.
Yeah,
they should be available. And then, yeah, I think they'll continue. I don't see those Star Wars fireworks going away anytime soon. I mean, this studio just needs.
It needs it. And I'm planning on doing the Star Wars dessert party next time because I saw. I guess had they moved it. Is it the same spot? I heard there were some rumors of it moving.
Heard it actually moving yet.
Okay, yeah. So if it is, it's pretty close to in front of the Chinese theater, a little bit back. Great view. I have not gone to the new Star Wars show, but the last fireworks, my son and I, to get a spot that was decent, I don't know how early we would have had to arrive. Like, we pretty much walked out, I faced him the other way, and he watched it, you know, and had to kind of keep moving throughout because it was just, it was insane.
Quick question for everyone involved in this conversation right now, and this is going to show my ignorance a little bit. As a man without kids who has never done this, could someone explain exactly what a dessert party is?
Sure, that's something we do breeze over.
Yeah, and I feel like we probably have some listeners that may not know, like me.
This is Listener Questions with Lynn. So, Lynn, well, I'm sure you have the touring plans description right in front of you. You can just read it to us. Now, how do you describe a dessert party?
Sure. So it's a private event, and there's an upcharge for it, typically somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 to $50-ish for adults. But what is this? There's an area reserved in each of the parks with a prime viewing spot of the nighttime fireworks in the Magic Kingdom. It's over by the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant. In Epcot, it's over on the bridge by Italy. And these are prime viewing locations for the evening fireworks. There's an area set aside. There's somebody there to make sure that you don't walk in if you don't have a ticket. You can either book one of the standard Disney ones. You can also reserve them far in advance as a private event if you want to do it like that. And typically what they have is all kinds of small finger food desserts. So cookies, cakes, pastries.
Imagine the desserts on a buffet at Disney.
Buffet, yeah, exactly. And then
our fair to Midland.
And then teas, coffees, non-alcoholic drinks. You could probably get alcoholic drinks if you wanted to, but there's probably an extra charge for that. And, you know, just as much food as you could possibly stuff into your maw while you're washing the fireworks.
I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, the times that I've done them, I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's more fun with a big group because you get to interact a little bit more, and, you know, seeing the fireworks in a big group is more fun.
Also, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say thank you guys for enlightening me. It's not what I had in my head at all, what a dessert party was. So now I know.
And see, like, for you and Samantha, like Amanda and I did it before we had kids.
Okay.
And I think it was like a no-brainer. It was kind of like what the after hours thing was. Like, I feel like if it had succeeded, it would have been a no-brainer for us as like a couple to go, because it's like, man, that would have been a good price to have a permanent spot where you get food, drinks, and can chill out instead of having to stake your claim 2 hours before, wait, and sweat.
In my head, it was, you know, when you reserve a room at Chuck E. Cheese for a birthday party and they like put little party hats at each seat and a little treat bag and like an ice cream sundae station? That's what it was. So I legitimately, every time we've talked about dessert parties, I zone out thinking, oh, this is a kid's thing.
Yeah,
but that
it's actually the opposite.
Now that it's explained, it actually sounds like something I would enjoy.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone.
All right.
Josh Quinlan asks, I'm looking to book a trip for January 19th through January 31st, 2017. We're Disneyland pass holders and we will be upgrading to the Premier Pass. Should we wait and upgrade closer to the trip or upgrade now and get discounts when booking hotels, etc.? Additionally, is this a good time to go? Will there be many closures? What would the weather be like? This is the first time trip. We'll be doing Universal additionally for 3 to 4 days. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think the discounts that you're going to get on a hotel room may offset the additional cost of or whatever you lose in terms of doing the upgrade sooner. But it really depends on where you're staying. If you're staying at a value resort, you may find that it's the discount that Disney offers is not going to be great. I know at the deluxe resort, it's almost a no-brainer. But if you're staying at a value or a moderate, you really have to do the math yourself.
Are you a Premier holder?
I am not.
You're not. I was the first year they did it because I was in LA a lot. So I was doing it and it was a lot of fun, though it's kind of quirky. You know, there's things that don't necessarily all compute right, or they didn't then, you know, with your connections and your My Disney experience. And all of that kind of didn't work just right. But it's worth it for the value. I assume the value is decent. I don't even know what it is cost right now, but it was a great value then.
The one thing you should definitely do is prepare yourself for expectations on pass holder benefits that aren't quite as great
in the world
as they are in land.
What's the do you know what the cost is of the Premier at this point?
I am checking right now. So it's new one is just under $1,500.
So really, with the prices of the annual passes at this point, that's not that bad. I mean, it's bad,
But it's $3,000 for the for Josh and his
wife. No, it's bad. I'm just saying, if you're like, how much? I mean, for an annual pass to Disney World, and if you were to individualize them, it's a what is the value? The value is a couple hundred dollars.
Would it be better for them to get maybe, because that's definitely not going to be a blocked out time, I wouldn't think. Would they be better off to get like one of the limited
lower tier
passes and not spend the extra money?
If so it's a Disney Deluxe Pass is going to be around $600 new. So really, it means the cost of the Disneyland annual pass that's driving the cost there.
Right. Well, hopefully we helped you.
Good time to go. Will there be many closures? And what's the weather? Those are their other.
What was the dates again? January?
End of January.
End of January now should be fine.
Weather be good.
Average crowds. Yeah, weather should be good. You know, global warming, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, we've spent time out there in January. And it's always, look, Disneyland. It seems to be busy most of the time, but it's not what you're expecting, especially California Adventure. It just feels different. Weather is good. Closures. I think there was some stuff closed when we were out there, but they were also refurbing for 50. So I don't, or for 60, for the Disneyland 60. They're refurbing a lot of stuff. So I don't know what they're doing now. This is not a Disneyland podcast, folks. Sorry.
No, this is a Disneyland person coming to Walt Disney World.
Oh, never mind. I am totally wrong.
January in Orlando is beautiful.
Great. It's like, it could be cold. Bring
a hoodie.
Bring stuff. And closures, there will probably be something then, right?
Yes.
Water rides, typically, right? Yeah. Don't they close like this?
The water parks will be closed, and then
like a splash one of those.
Some of that.
Yeah. All right. Do we got any other questions? Let's see. I'm going to pull one up here. I'm sure it's good. Oh, you got another one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Let's give it to Will. This is the top one.
This is a lazy man's version.
We've got Mike from New York calling on line 3.
Oh, it's Mike Newell.
Hey, guys. Question for Lynn. We're traveling to WDW this February and staying in a 2-bedroom villa at Bay Lake Tower.
Very nice.
Lakeview, any suggestion on a room request? We are touring plan subscribers. Thanks, Mike. Do we have that picture we took of what room we were in? Because that was a heck of a
We were
room.
A theme park view, though.
Oh.
Mr. Newell hooked us up.
That's right. I have no suggestions, Mike. Lynn?
So this, it's a, what was the view again?
For a garden.
Lakeview.
Lakeview and a 2-bedroom Bay Lake.
Okay. So the thing with a Lakeview, the thing that you got to watch on the, I would suggest something high up on the north side. And here's why. If you face south, which I've done before, the sun just beats down on you the entire time. Because it's going from east to west across, whereas north it doesn't as much. I would say, let's see, if you're in a 2-bedroom Bay Lake view, something in the like the 05 on each floor, room 05.
All right.
So like 8505, you know.
Any of the 05s.
Yeah, any of the 05s would probably be the way to go.
You're going to enjoy your 2-bedroom though. It's nice.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah,
definitely. I loved it. I loved it. We had a great time. I've done it twice now at the 2-bedroom. Once with Will, the other ones, with my family. It was always great.
The ones to try are 2 and 12. So 2, 5, and 12.
Okay.
Great.
Well, hopefully, let us know how that goes. If you get one of those rooms and how it works. Is that going to do it?
Yeah, I think that does it for this week.
All right, Lynn,
this week's
thank you very
LP
much, sir, for checking in with us and for staying on for an extended period of time. It was always fun having you. Anytime you want to pop on for the whole show, we'd love to have you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
That's going to do it for Listener Questions with Lynn. Thanks, Lynn, for joining us today for the whole show. Also fun. Hopefully he comes back soon and does the whole show with us. We can hear what the next park is and what the worst and best is. What do you think? Let's make some predictions here. Best attraction for kids at Epcot.
Well, I guess Frozen won't be in the data.
Yeah, but if it was.
But if it was, that would be it. Other than that, I would probably say...
tough one.
Kids test track?
Yeah, maybe
test maybe track. Test track.
Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, my son likes Spaceship Earth. That's a good one. Hollywood Studios, what do we think? We're gonna compare these.
Toy Story Mania.
Yeah,
here's the problem, though. I'm only giving rides.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Meet and greets there, meeting Woody and Buzz and some of the Star Wars stuff. So,
Launch Bay.
Lean to the Launch Bay.
Launch Bay is probably the
Launch
best.
Bay.
Yeah. Launch Bay, and then Animal Kingdom.
I'm going to say Jungle Book.
Jungle Book Show. Terry?
The Safari.
I'm going to go Primeval World. That's a joke. But you can't even ride it until you're 53 inches. Some crazy. That one is a crazy height limit because I looked recently.
Yeah, and you weirdly feel like you're going to die.
I know. That's why I like it. I know everyone hates it, but I like that ride because it does. It's that same spinning roller coaster that they have at the Mall of America. Uh-huh. I love that thing. Yeah. That's a Fairly Odd Parents coaster right now. So out there, if you're out at the Mall of America, go check out Nick World, whatever it is. All right, guys, that'll do it for today's episode. A special thanks to our new partners at Circa 1955. We just got some samples in, guys, and they are delightful. I'm sure you heard us talk about it during the ad read, and you should check them out. Circa1955.com. That's the numbers, 1955. Get your subscription service there. I love it. People are buying them. She's letting us know that you guys are reaching out and are being a part of the new subscription service. I really love it, and I love these smells. They're awesome. So make sure to check it out. And also to our friends at Off to Neverland Travel, if you're planning your next vacation, you know what to do, as Will always says.
All I think you have to do is pack.
Go to Neverland.com. That's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter, and join them and so many other great acts out at De Las Pratas coming up on September 30th, a little over 2 months away. Join us, DLPFest.com. Tickets are on sale right now. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm still Terry Weaver.
I'm Len Testa.
And we'll see you on the next show.